148 and verse 2. Psalm 148 and verse 2, if I've got my thoughts on correct today. Sometimes I get excited and I get ahead of myself. Look at Psalm 148. It's in the Old Testament. It's just to the right of dead center in your Bible. The very central verse in your Bible is the chapter of Psalm 118. And verse 8 is the dead center of your Bible. That's a story for another time. Psalm 148 is just to the right of dead center. And we're going to be looking at verse number 2. Psalm 148 and verse 2. If you found it, say amen. If you need a Bible, there's one in the pew rack. If you want to use your phone, I used a Carta Bible. I like the way they talk to, the way they read it to me. Psalm 148 verse 2. Let's read verse 2. Let's read verse 1 and 2 together. Let's say it. Here we go. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. The question that came today, we're in our series called You Asked For It, where I have solicited sermon topics from the pew. And that one of the questions was this time was angels. They wanted to hear a message about angels. They wanted to know, are angels real? What are they? What do they do? What do they look like? Do we talk to angels? Is it like we see on TV? You know, they're mentioned 297 times in the Bible. And do angels exist? Well, yes, they do. Psalm 148, verse 2, they are commanded to praise the Lord. Jesus believed in angels. Look at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, which is the first book of the New Testament. Verse number 52 and 53, they're in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the guards have come to arrest Jesus, and Peter pulls out his sword and hacks off Malchus's ear. And Jesus says to him in verse number 52, he says, then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Obviously, Jesus believed in angels. So the Bible presents angels as real, although it doesn't necessarily explain their existence and things like that, but they just explain it as fact, kind of the way God does himself. God doesn't explain his existence and what he did or what he was like prior to Genesis 1:1. He just states that he is, and he states it as fact. So angels are real. Now, let me give you an understanding. There is a realm that you and I cannot see. For instance, right now, in this room is filled with radio waves and Wi-Fi signals and regular TV signals with video and audio, and there's other things. But the problem is you can't tune your eyes to see it. But if you could tune your eyes to see those frequencies, you would see the radio waves, the Wi-Fi waves, the cellular information floating around in here and all that other things. And it's kind of like angels. There is a realm that we cannot see, although it exists in and around us. And if we could tune our eyes to interpret it, we would be able to see the reality of angels and the spirit realm. There's angels, they're all angels, but a third of them fell with Satan. We refer to them as devils or demons, but they're just as real as the angels we all love and are excited to get to know about it. So what are they? Well, they're special created beings. Are you sure? Are you sure they're not actually former humans? How many of you were raised on a TV show called Highway to Heaven? I was the only one subjected to that. I'm sorry. Huh? Do you remember Highway to Heaven? Do you remember what it was based on? Michael Landon plays the role of Arthur Gordon, a man who was a lawyer who died in the 1940s, but God has sent him to earth and renamed him Jonathan Smith as a probationary angel. We've already started to decorate for Christmas, but we have yet to pull out our favorite Christmas movies. Do you remember the movie It's a Wonderful Life? Do you remember Clarence Oddbody, the watchmaker, sent back to help George Bailey as a probationary angel? Do you remember those shows? Remember that? Am I the only one subjected to those movies? I'm done. Huh? When you think about it, we all remember them. We all love those shows, right? But what it's done is it's created a pop culture ideal that those we love die and become angels. The truth is, if you read the Word of God, that would be a demotion. We would be demoted if we became angels. No, we're so much more. In Revelation 20 and verse 4, the Bible says that we will rule and reign with Christ as His. Take your Bible, go to the book of Romans chapter 8. See, as saved people, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, say amen. Amen. As knowing Christ as your Savior, you're a child of God. You are a son or a daughter of the King of Kings. And you will feast at the table of our Savior forever. You're His kids. We're joint heirs. Look at this, Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Do you know what an heir is? How many of you have a kind of a wealthy aunt or uncle or grandparent that you're hoping they'll kick the bucket and remember you? Right? You kind of have these daydreams about, boy, that Grandpa Pepple's got a lot of land. Or Pepple, boy, if Pepple goes, I'm going to, whoo. Now listen, did you send Pepple a birthday card or a Christmas card? Because we want to stay on Pepple's good side. Or Uncle Fester. You know, I want to stay on Uncle Fester's good side. Uncle Fester's got a load of stuff, and I want some of that. You know what it means to be an heir? You inherit what they have. You get what they have. So when you think of it that way, put that definition in there. And if children, then heirs. People who will inherit. Heirs of God. We will inherit what God has and joint heirs with Christ. That's what it means to be saved. Angels are not that way. Angels are, yes, they're called the sons of God, but they are not brought into the family like children. They're created beings. Nehemiah 9:6 says, "Thou, even thou art Lord alone, thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, and all their hosts." The host of heaven is the angelic realm. Colossians 1:16 says they were all created, whether we can see them or not. That's what it says in Colossians 1 if you're taking notes, verse 16 and 17. So what day were they created on? Take your Bible, go to Job. Now, Job's in the Old Testament. It's just to the left, the dead center. Look at Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38, verse 4. Now, remember, Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God." That's it. In the beginning, there was God. Before that which could be measured, touched, taste, or experienced, that which could be experienced through your senses, there was just God. And He created the heaven and the earth. And before the earth had form and void, or it was form and void, before the earth had structure and substance, like He said in verse 2, this happened in Job 38 and verse 4. Now, He's asking Job a rhetorical question, trying to help Job see from God's point of view that he can't actually see from God's point of view. He says, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hast laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hast stretched the line upon it?" Like a brick mason laid out a foundation. "When I was laying out the foundation for the earth, whereupon are the foundations fastened? And who hath laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." So when did God create the angels? Day one. Pastor mixes speculation between verse 1 and verse 2 of Genesis 1 is my personal opinion. But they're made. They're created beings. So they're part of the creation. So what are angels like? I mean, what are they like? Well, take your Bible, go to Hebrews. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, a very interesting thing about them. Hebrews 12, they're created beings, they're created by God. Hebrews 12 and verse 22, "But you're coming to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God." It's talking about the heavenly Jerusalem. "To an innumerable." Did anybody use that in a sentence this week? Anybody at all? Innumerable means there's so many you can't count. That's what it means in regular vernacular. "An innumerable company of angels." What are angels like? There's a whole mess of them. There's a lot of them. There are so many you can't count. Billions. Billions upon billions of them. In Luke 20 and verse 36, the Bible says angels cannot die. They're eternal beings. In Matthew 22, verses 28 through 30, the Bible says they do not marry, nor are they given in marriage. But look at Daniel 9. There is something cool about that. Look at Daniel 9. This is so cool. Daniel's just to the right of dead center. You got Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. Look at Daniel chapter number 9 and verse 21. Angels can do something that is so cool. Look at Daniel chapter 9 and verse 21. Have you found it yet? Go to Daniel 9. Now you're going to like, don't take my word for it. Look at it yourself. Daniel 9 and verse 21. Now Daniel's trying to get an answer from God, and the angel's supposed to bring the answer from God. Yet while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in a vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly. That's right. Angels can fly. Wouldn't that be cool? That is pretty cool, right? They can fly. Did you know they can appear and disappear? They can come into our visual aspect and then they can leave. We saw this when Gabriel came to talk to Zechariah at the temple. Poof, he was there. Poof, he was gone. Do you remember when he came to Mary and Mary? He spoke to her and she gave praise and poof, he was gone. And then like with Joseph, he spoke to Joseph. Remember Gideon? Gideon made sacrifice and the angel accepted it and poof, on God's behalf, and poof, he was gone. They can come. Remember the Christmas story with the angels coming to the shepherds? Glory to God in high. It's like poof, all of a sudden the ground, the whole earth was lighted by them. It was like daytime at night outside of Bethlehem. And they were there and they were singing. All of a sudden, they're gone. That's cool. Angels are neat. They are interesting beings. The Bible says they're more powerful than us. We'll see that in a moment. But how are angels different from us? Well, they're ministering spirits where we are the heirs of God. We have salvation. They do not. Angels serve. They don't marry. They never die. But they do take they typically take human form. Throughout the Bible, they appeared as a man. There are some that are diverse. They were referred to as beasts in Revelation 4. They had swings, eyes in front and in back. And those were seen also by Isaiah in chapter 6. Now, there are different classifications of angels. The ones I just mentioned in Isaiah 6 were seraphims. Go back a few pages from Daniel to Isaiah 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Listen to what it says here in Isaiah 6. It says, verse 2, above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and twain covered his face, and twain covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. These are the same things John saw in Revelation 4, and he referred to them as beasts. We also have cherubims. Cherubims. Now, we think of cherubs as a cute little naked baby. You know what I mean? We think of the cherubs, they're cute like that. No, Satan is a cherub. It's a different kind of angel. Satan is a cherub. He's not a seraphim. He's not a messenger angel. He's not a warrior angel. He's a cherub. Then we have the archangel, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. It talks about Michael, the archangel. He's the warrior angel of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And verse number 16. These are classifications of angels. For the Lord himself to descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel. The Bible describes them basically by task. What are their tasks? What do they do? Well, we have the angel of the winds in Revelation 7, 1. There was four angels that held back the wind from the four corners of the earth. Then we have the angel of fire in Revelation 8, 5, if you're taking notes. Then the angel of the waters, Revelation 16 and verse 5. These are angels. This is an angel that managed the water. He knows how hard it's raining. He knows how high the flood's going to be. Michael, the archangel, is the warrior. He's mentioned in Daniel 10:13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. In Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of the people. Michael is a warrior. Gabriel is a messenger angel. We saw him in Daniel chapter 8. We saw him in Luke chapter 1. It was Gabriel that told Zechariah, I know your wife's beyond years, but you're going to have a baby and you're going to call his name John. And they had special powers because when Zechariah said, how's that going to happen? He goes, you know what? You're not going to be able to speak until the day this happens. And Zechariah didn't say a word. That's some powerful. Don't you wish you had that power? Right? Ain't there some folk in your life you'd be like, bliss. Isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't you just like to? I'd like to have the mobile stop unit to where people who don't know how to stop at a red light, you can just kind of stop them.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool? Amen. Or try to turn left on a green. You know what I mean? Or a yellow, excuse me. Turn left at a yellow. But the ability to just go, you're not going to speak now. This is cool. It was Gabriel who told Mary she's going to give birth to the Christ child. It was Gabriel who told Joseph, hey, I need you to flee to Egypt. Get out of here. Herod's going to kill the baby. Now I need you to get back to Nazareth. And when Joseph's like, yeah, but Archelaus is there. He goes, no, you get to Nazareth. Now in Hebrews chapter 1, it refers to them as ministering. That means they serve God by helping us. Take your Bible, go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter number 1 and verse 13. You asked for it, you're going to get it. Angels, they're created beings. They are not marrying, given in marriage. They're not redeemed like you and I. We'll talk about more in a minute. Hebrews 1 verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? He's contrasting them with Christ. There's no, even though they're powerful and glorious looking things, they're not as powerful and glorious as Christ. Are they not all ministering spirits? You know what ministering means? To serve the needs of others. You were sick, you prayed, God sent an angel. An angel that brought Jesus bread in the wilderness. It was an angel that strengthened Christ in Gethsemane. When you needed to be strengthened for the ministry and keep going, God will send an angel. It's always been and always will be God who commands, chooses, and they follow his command. Yes, it's at Christ's direction, but yet for my protection. Sometimes I feel like, because Hebrews, when I look at Hebrews 1 and verse 13, and 14, I feel like I'm preaching to two congregations. Yes, I have the 8:30 and the 11:15, but you know, you realize that you bring angels with you. They follow you in. They're here now. You just can't see them. In Revelation 6, we see angels in heaven because all of the saints they're in charge of are in heaven by that time. In today's media, it's crazy. They portray angels as being, you know, like human qualities, like they get tired. And you watch all these goofy shows on Hulu and Netflix, and where their angels get frustrated and angels are confused and they fall in love and they become emotionally involved with people and they're handsome and muscular, you know. And no, come on. That's not how it works. The problem with portraying angels the way they do on TV is people want their power. They're not interested in the God who gave them their power. They just want to chase after an angel for their powers. Do they all have names? That was a good question I got. Do they all have names? Well, Gabriel is mentioned in Luke 1:19. Michael is mentioned in Jude 1:9 and in Daniel. But there is another angel that's mentioned by name. And he's mentioned throughout Scripture. And his name is Lucifer, Isaiah 14:12. He also goes by Satan and the dragon, the accuser of the brethren, the little horn. That is who he is. He's mentioned throughout Scripture. Do angels have special powers? Well, take your Bible, go to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 2. Remember, don't take my word for it. Look what the book says. 2 Peter 2 and verse 9. The Bible says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lusts of uncleanness and despise. And it goes on and it talks about us as sinners. Whereas angels, look at verse 11, which are greater in power and might, meaning they're greater in power and might than you and I. They have abilities beyond us. That's what that means. Because he's contrasting. Verse 9 and 10 is talking about how we're sinners and self-willed. And we'll, a lot of times we're not afraid to speak against authority. We're not against, speak evil of other people. But the angels won't. Even though they got greater power and might, they wouldn't dare speak evil of authorities. Well, does everybody have a guardian angel? That gets questioned a lot of times. Do we have a guardian angel? Well, and this is a great sentiment, but the Bible's very ambiguous about that because the word guardian's not in there. But the Bible does say in Psalm 34:7 that he encamps about them that fear him. Like he built a hedge about Job so Satan couldn't get to him. Psalm 91 says that the angels have charge over you. And in Matthew 18, this is where everybody gets the guardian angel idea. And I'm not saying they don't protect us, because they do. Look at Matthew 18 and verse 10. Matthew 18 and verse 10. Look what the Bible reads here. It says in Matthew 18, 10, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. Don't look at a child and disregard them and think they have no potential. They have no usefulness. That they are throwaway or castaways, or the ability to be throwaway or disposable. That's not how God sees children. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angel, that's possessive, they have an angel that always beholds the face of my Father which is in heaven. Yes, angel does protect people. Angels do. They have in the past. They are doing it now. Take your Bible, go to 2 Kings 6. The king of Assyria heard how that Elisha, the prophet of God, was feeding intel about him to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel could thwart what the king of Assyria was doing because Isaiah, the seer, had some special pipeline of information, whether from God or from a familiar spirit or whatever. He didn't know. He was a pagan. So he sends his army to the little town that Elisha's living in. And Elisha's got a young guy that works for him, that's training to be a prophet. And in 2 Kings chapter number 6 and verse 15, the guy wakes up early and he goes out, and behold, a host compassed the city. The foreign army is surrounding my little town, and there is horses and chariots everywhere. And he freaks out and he goes in and he says, alas, my master, how shall we do? What are we going to do? You ever have somebody say that like that? What are we going to do? Look at verse 17 and or verse 16. And he answered, Elisha answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Verse number 17, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. I believe God uses angels to protect us, but it's really the angels acting at God's direction for my protection. On the History Channel, and not everything on the History Channel is true, but they were interviewing these men and women who had gone back to Israel when Israel became a nation. And they were raised there, and in the Seven Days War, how there were miraculous things that happened. These two regular Israeli army soldiers got separated from their unit, and they're running through the rubble, and they come around the corner like this, and there's like 40 Egyptians with guns. And they go like this, and all the Egyptians drop their guns and get on the ground face down for these two little Israeli guys. And they pick up all the guns, throw them in the back of a truck, and they make all these guys walk back to the Israeli camp. And the one soldier looks at the captain of the Egyptian army and goes, why did you guys surrender to us too? And he could barely speak. He said, didn't you see all of those men with flaming swords standing behind you? Didn't you see them? There's more than one story like that out of Israel. There's more than one like that from missionaries. I believe angels protect us, but it's really the angels acting at God's direction for my protection, not of their own will. Because when the captain of the Lord's host showed up outside of Jericho in front of Joshua, Joshua's like, are you with them or are you with me? And the Lord of the host said, neither. Meaning, I haven't got my orders yet, whether to kill you or to help you. They don't take sides. They act at the direction of the Lord for our protection. They praise the Lord. Psalm 103, verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels. They worship the Lord. Revelation 4, and the beast, six wings and full of eyes within, and they say, holy, 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 and they cast their thrones and they fall before them. Nehemiah 9:6, the host of heaven worship thee. Psalm 103, verse 21 says, bless ye the Lord, all his hosts, ye minister that ye do his pleasure. You know, when you come together and you sing for the Lord, you may not be able to hear them or see them, but you are worshiping alongside them. They bring messages We saw that in Gabriel to Mary and Joseph and to Zechariah. We saw this with the angel bringing Paul a message. Remember when Paul was about to be shipwrecked and they were so seasick they couldn't eat and Paul fasted and prayed and an angel showed up. This is Acts 27, verse 24. He said, "And the angel of God spoke to me and said, 'You're all going to be fine as long as we stick together.'" You ever think you've been spoken to by an angel? I mean, it's happened in the past. Prior to the completion of the Word of God, God would use angels to bring His message. Why doesn't God do that now? Because you have the Holy Spirit inside you and the Word of God in front of you. You don't need the angel messenger. Well, people are hearing messages from angels all the time. Yeah, but what are you going to do if you hear an angel give you a message that's contrary to the book? In Galatians, take your Bible, go to the book of Galatians. Now you need to know this. Galatians 1 and verse 8. "Do you realize that you have an adversary called the devil, and that when he sinned, he took one third of the angelic realm with him in his rebellion against God?" Did you know that? One third. Look it up in the book of the Revelation. One third of the stars fell to the earth when he fell. They came. He is not alone. He is not omniscient, nor is he omnipresent, but he has an army. He has one third of the innumerable host. One third is his. They all fell with him. And they all want the same thing. Do you know what that is? To be worshiped. That's what they all want. It's what they've always wanted. Why do you think there's so many false gods? Six times in the Word of God, the Bible says when you worship a false god, you're worshiping a devil. In Galatians 1, in verse 8, "Though we," speaking about Paul, "or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Well, that's foolish. No, it's not. Joseph Smith started the Mormon heresy by saying that it was the angel Moroni that spoke to him and gave him a works salvation. The Bible is not about works to save you. You do the works because you're so excited being saved, you can't help but love God back and serve Him. It's not the earning thing. It's the excited, I'm worshiping God thing. Muhammad started the Islamic religion by hearing from an angel. And he got a works-based salvation. Eliphaz the Temanite, Job 4. Was used of Satan, given a true message, but used to add more grief to Job. Christians are not to seek the messages from angels, because the problem is you start discounting God or listening to God. Remember, it's the message that's more important than the messenger. You have the Holy Spirit within you and the Word of God in front of you. So now what? Now that we have the Bible and angels don't need to talk to us, well, what are they doing? Well, they're praising God. They're worshiping God. They're ministering to you and I. They're protecting you and I. They're doing battle. They're doing battle against those that would hurt us. But they also deliver saints from trials. Do you remember in Daniel, when Daniel was sent to the lion's den? Do you remember that? There was an edict written, "You shall not pray to any other god but the king of Babylon." And so he said, "Fooey on that, I'm going to pray anyway." And they cast him into the lion's den. And the king couldn't sleep all night because he knew he'd been had by his chamberlain. So he got up the next morning and ran to the lion's den. And he said, "Are you alive? Has your God saved you?" And Daniel 6:22, "My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me." Acts 12, an angel broke Peter out of jail. Remember that? He's laying chained to four different soldiers. And the angel comes in and hits him and goes, "Get up, put on your shoes." And it's like everybody's frozen in time. And he walks to the door and the cell door opens. Well, how do you get in there? Angels can appear and disappear. They're not bound by our temporal or corporal, whatever being, however you want to say it. They're not bound by our physics. So, and they walk out and they come to the front of the guardhouse and the door opens and they walk through the courtyard and the gates of the city opens and he walks with them two or three blocks just to make sure Peter gets away and then he disappears. The angels protect us. They're there with us through trials. Psalm 103 says they execute the purposes of God. You know, in Matthew 28:2, it was an angel that rolled back the stone, not to let Jesus out, but to let the apostles and witnesses in. In John 5:4, it was the angel that troubled the waters at the pool of Bethesda to heal those that went in. One of the coolest things I think about angels is the fact that they will carry us one day. Take your Bible, go to Luke 16. Luke 16. Luke chapter 16. Luke 16. There was a certain rich man which clothed in purple and fine linen, verse 19, and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels. Do you see that? Into Abraham's bosom. Huh. They carry us. They will one day carry us to the portal of heaven, to the arms of Christ. Take your Bible, go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Dr. Rollins wrote a book called Death's Door. In the book, he recounts the story of a little girl who's dying of brain cancer. She'd been unconscious for days, and the nurse came in, and the little girl was sitting on the edge of her bed, hitting her mother, going, "Can you see the angels, Mommy? Can you see the angels?" And she slumped over. Matthew 24, 31. "And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the one end of heaven to the other. As I sat on my mother's bedside and held her hand, as she neared what we thought was going to be death, she saw the angels. And she kept saying, 'Do you see that man over there? He's going to take me on a trip.'" As we near death, my brothers and sisters, the veil between the two become very thin. Your loved ones that knew the Lord were carried. They were not shoved or pushed. They were carried by an angel. And when our Lord comes with a shout, the angels will gather us. And we will rise. See, that's the purpose of God for angels. We're not to be seeking after them, because it takes our eyes off Christ. We're not to be seeking for messages from angels, because we have the message of God and the Holy Spirit to interpret it for us. It borderlines on idolatry and pagan worship to put them ahead. Actually, the Bible says this in a later chapter. Here it says that they were, in Colossians, that they were worshiped, that people had come into these Gentile believers who didn't know anything and were trying to teach them to worship the angels. And the Bible says, no, you're missing the point. It's not about the messenger. It's about the one who sent you the message. See, the angels answer to our Savior. He's the creator, they're the created being. He's the sovereign, and they are the servants. He is the Son, and they're the worshipers. He's the ruler, and they're the servants. He's the Savior. They're just messengers. But you know what's crazy? Is angels actually learn things from you and I. Now, remember, He created these beings on day one. They never sleep. They never take a break. They don't go on vacation. They never die. They speak every language. They can travel at the speed of thought. They can poof in and poof out. It's cool, right? But they are not all-knowing. And they learn from us. Take your Bible, go to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3 in verse 9. Now, in verse 6, He's explaining the benefits we have as believers. Look at verse 6, Ephesians 3, 6. "That Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body." This is a mystery, that Jew and Gentile would be reconciled in the body of Jesus Christ, as it was promised by the gospel, verse 6. "Whereof I am made a minister according to the gift of grace." That God is, it astounds Paul that God would do this. That's cool, because it astounds the angels as well. "According to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me." Now, Paul never got over the fact that God saved him. "Who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach unto the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid. That's what a mystery is. A mystery is not something you can't ever know. It's just something that's previously unknown. The fact that Jew and Gentile would be reconciled in Christ was hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now look at this next verse. To the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places, that's the angelic realm, principalities and powers, might be known, that they might know by the church, that's us, the manifold wisdom of God. They are taught by us what it's like. Do you realize that angels are not redeemable beings? They don't get saved. They were never lost and got saved. Do you remember what it was like to be lost? Do you remember what it was like before you knew Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you remember how nothing made sense? And then all of a sudden you trust Christ as your Savior. Now the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside you. He seals you. You are now a child of the living God. And now you've experienced something the angels have no concept of. I don't know what it's like. Now look, it would be so cool. If I was God, and you're thinking about division of resources and labor, you would think angels would be the perfect thing to preach because they're gorgeous, they're glowy, they can poof and poof out and poof out, they can speak all languages, they can travel at the speed of thought, they're powerful, nobody can mess with them unless God let, you know what I'm saying? They fight demons and they come out on top. You think, man, they'd be great. But they don't know what it's like to be you. It'd be like me coming into your job and trying to explain to you how things ought to be done. Maybe I am smart. I don't know. Maybe I have a few things, some insights, but I don't know what it's like to be you. It's kind of like a guy trying to tell his wife during the birthing process, here's what you need to do, baby. Oh, just shut up and grab their lip and pull it up over their head. Right? No concept. I always think, oh, they're funny. Well, y'all are having a baby. No, she's having the baby. I just get to sit here. I didn't do anything. Angels don't know what it's like to be you. The Bible actually uses the phrase that they see it, but they look in. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, that Christ would bother to leave heaven and come and be in human flesh. That's what mystery of godliness is. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels. It's interesting. There's another phrase in 1 Peter 1 in verse 12. It says, which the angels desire to look into. You ever seen kids at the mall? Little kids will run up to a window and put their face against the glass. Right? Back before with the internet and stuff, we used to shop at stores downtown, and we'd go from shop to shop and we'd peer in at the candy and the fudge and all of the Christmas stuff and the toy stores. The toy stores were on Main Street and they had these big windows and they put the toys in the window and you'd be like, oh, that's the latest Lego or the latest, what was it? It was G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip. Do you remember that? And all the accessories, right? And you'd be like, you'd press your nose against the glass, kind of like our dog does now. She gets up on the back of the couch and there's all these nose prints on the front bay window going, I want out, I want out, I want out. That's what the angels are like. And they see you, a lost, hell-bound sinner who is worthy of hell. And then you're saved. God forgives you. Past, present, and future. God wipes the slate clean and forgets about it. The angels are like, I don't get it. They don't understand. Yes, they're smarter than we are. Yes, they're more powerful than we are. Yes, they're incredible beings. But they have no concept of what it's like to be you. That's why Jesus, that's why God, that's why, listen, all right, so let me back up the truck here. That's why Jesus wasn't an angel who came to die for us. An angel has no concept of what it's like to be us. That's why Jesus had to come as a human being of the lineage of Adam, yet not under the curse of Adam, outside the reach of Satan, because he was born without sin and he lived a sinless existence. And in Hebrews 4, it says he knows what it's like to be you because he did that. And he can identify with you. Angels don't know how to do that. They know a lot of things. Yeah, well, preacher, if you call the psychic network, they help me find mama's wedding ring. Let me tell you something. There are other angels out there besides God's. And they don't sleep, and they don't take a break, and they know a lot, and they can speak every language, and they just watch, and they remember. Well, preacher, there's power in that psychic stuff. Yeah, stupid. Stay away from it. You will open a door I cannot shut. You will let something in your life that it'll take prayer and fasting just to keep it at bay. Listen to me. Don't fool with it. Because what the devil wants you to do is get your eyes off the messenger. Not the guy carrying the message, but the one who sent it. He wants you to get your eye off Jesus onto angels. He wants these little sentiments to blur your understanding of how it is. Because Satan, he makes two lies. Number one, his first lie is he doesn't exist. And if you won't fall for that, the next lie is I'm actually benevolent and just being maligned. That's what he tries to tell everybody. There are Satan's churches in our area who are doing after school clubs now in the public school before COVID. And he was the benevolent soul like Prometheus who brought fire to human beings. No! He's an angel who wants to be worshipped. Focus on the God who created him, not the creation. Where's your focus today? If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've experienced something the most powerful beings in the universe have no concept of. You have experienced something and understand something that the most beautiful, majestic beings in the universe can't wrap their head around. Stop calling me. I don't have a student loan. And you should be in church. By the way, Jesus died for your sins. That's how you answer a phone call. Okay, I don't know who this is. It's Thornton, Virginia. I don't know who it is. But anyhow, they keep calling me. Dude, you need to be in church. Witness to them next time. That's what you do. Sorry. About it, they said, hey, this is so-and-so. Sorry, can't talk right now. Sorry, I don't know who it is. But anyhow, hey. Don't say that wasn't a distraction from the devil, because it is. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you know something they don't. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our Father and our God, we love you. God, we expect great things because you're a great God. Oh, God, teach us. Teach us. Oh, Father, let us not get our eyes off of the truth. But let us keep our eyes focused on you. Oh, Father, please forgive us of our sin. And Father, let us stay focused not on the beings and greatness of them, but Father, on how they serve right alongside of us with the same goal, and that's to see you glorified. Bless us, oh God, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe you've got a question and you want it answered. The place to find the answer is right here. Right here at the altar. Maybe today, that's exactly what you need. It's just a moment with God. Won't you find it here? Won't you find it with Jesus? Maybe today you're here and you've been hearing messages from some other source than God. Let's focus back on His Word. Whatever your need is, the answer is Jesus.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Lamb of God, worthy.
Yes, angels are real.
Lamb of
God uses them for our benefit.
Worthy
and more importantly, uses them for His glory. I wish it were that way with us. But we don't always glorify our Savior.
Rising again, I bless your name.
But the option is ours. Just as it was for those that fell, it's the same choice we have.
When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
When you worship, you're worshiping right alongside them. When you praise, you're praising right alongside them. When you're fulfilling God's will, when you're exalting His name, when you're expanding His kingdom, you're serving right alongside angels. You're not alone. You're not alone. But you definitely are someone that has been redeemed and holds a special place above the angels. Our Father and our God, we love you, and the promises are true and they're sure. And Father, we know that one day we'll see these angels. Those that by your direction were for our protection and blessing, for those that ministered to us. And Father, that they did it at your beck and call. And Father, it'll be a joy to be escorted into your presence. Until that time, Father, may we tell others the truth of your word and your gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May I look this way. I'm going to ask